I'll apologize in advance. I had to write this out before I came here because I don't feel anyone can really speak in a coherent fashion in response to such a day and in response to such a tragedy. So we've all come together this evening to daven on behalf of three grieving families, on behalf of the Frankels, the Yifrachs, and the Shar families. And we've also come to daven to respond to the discouraged and despondent Klal Yisrael, who have spent the past 18 days united in so many different and beautiful ways. We collectively have been anticipating only positive news, but we have been given the most horrific and tragic response. The Pasuk tells us in Mishlei, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, that a man's soul is likened to a candle. And there are two ways in which a candle can be extinguished or smothered from its existence. Sometimes a strong wind will come and blow out a vibrant and luminous candle. And at other times, a candle will naturally be extinguished, and a candle will naturally go out, simply when it runs out of oil. So similarly, there are two different types of Yitzias Neshama experiences. Sometimes we're fortunate and we're blessed to have a Yitzias Neshama, a Neshama that naturally leaves the world, a Neshama that has the opportunity to have many positive experiences, the ups and the downs of life, but overall a positive experience in life. But then it runs out of oil, and the neshama leaves this world. But sometimes there's a powerful wind that passes through and extinguishes these flickering candles, these neshamas. And we unfortunately are living now through a ferocious and violent experience of Yitzias Neshama. These past 2 weeks we have seen the best of man and the absolutely worst of man at the same time. We saw humanity and Klal Yisrael in particular rise to such incredible heights, while at the same time we experienced humanity crumble to the lowest of the low with cold-blooded murder and absolute destruction. We saw these precious candles becoming extinguished in a most horrific and heinous way. The Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam has been blown out in front of us in a most horrific way and a most horrific manner. And it's certainly not our place to come together this evening or ever to offer answers or reasons for a tragedy of this kind of magnitude. Nor is it the place, by the way, of anyone other than a Navi, which unfortunately we do not have today. So nobody should be listening to the answers that anybody might be offering in the coming days, or the answers that anyone has offered in the past few days. Tragedies happen. And we have come together tonight to share our collective feelings with each other. Our shul and our community in general, are the people with whom we feel the closest. These are the types of people that understand us best, and these are the people that we best relate with. So we therefore have come together tonight to mourn and reflect together as one community what such a tragedy means to us, to speak out our feelings and to talk about our emotions. You know, the story is told of an older man who came to visit the great Kutzke Rebbe, and he complained that he had grown old and frail and he had no money and no way to take care of himself anymore, and his 10 children that he raised seemed to have neglected him. Nobody was interested in taking care of him. So how is it, this man asked the Kutzke, how could it be that I raised these children, I provided for them their whole lives, I gave them the great opportunities that they experienced throughout life, and yet they can't seem to recuperate anything that I gave them. They can't seem to give back for me now that I'm in need. Now that I'm the one who needs their help. Now I'm the one that's old and frail and can't care for myself. How could it be, this older man asked the Kutzker, how could it be that nobody of all of my 10 children can handle the burden of their older father? And the Kutzker turned to a pasuk in Parshas Vayigash, when Yosef, the viceroy of Mitzrayim, asks that his brother Binyamin be left behind. So the brothers immediately respond, how can we leave our brother behind? How can we give Binyamin up? How are we allowed to let him stay under your watch? How can we overlook the pain of our illustrious father, who we made a promise with, that we would bring him back at any cost? We would never allow Binyamin to stay behind. Our father will cease to exist. He won't want to live anymore if we don't bring his beloved young son back home with us. Sounds like a fairly legitimate argument. But Chazal tell us, strikingly, that at this particular time, Binyamin had already given birth to 10 children of his own. So why were the brothers so overly concerned with Yaakov Avinu, with their father? What about the 10 young, innocent, sweet young children who would be left without a father if Binyamin was left behind in Mitzrayim? They would be left as Yisomim for the rest of their lives, and they would have no one to take care of them. Why not incorporate the sons of Binyamin, the 10 sons of Binyamin, into the argument as well? Why are they only concerned with the feelings of Yaakov Avinu? Explain the Kutzker, because there's no greater love in the world than the love of a parent to a child. One cannot compare the love of a child for a parent to the love of a parent for a child. Worse than leaving behind, said the Kutzker, worse than leaving behind 10 young, sweet and innocent Yesomim, is to leave behind a father who has to deal with the loss of a beloved son. There's simply nothing that can match that experience in the world. And this evening, and for the rest of their respective lives, three incredibly strong and beloved families to all of us will have to confront and grapple with this kind of loss. With the loss of Bahariyah, Kiroso, Ki Ein Hanar. With the loss of the strongest type of love and the most firm affection that anyone can ever have for someone in the world. And that's the loss of a beloved child. Just think for a minute about what that loss might mean. Think about all the potential opportunities that these boys would have had in their lives. Think about all the energies and time that these parents infused into the future successes of their children. Consider all the sweat and the tears that they invested into the lives of these beloved children. You know, we say in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, we speak about the many attempts throughout history to destroy the Jewish people, to destroy Klal Yisrael, and we introduce the entire subject with the words Arami Oved Avi. We have had adversaries throughout all the generations who have tried to destroy us in so many different ways, in many different forms, many different fashions. But what have they tried to destroy? If we had to pinpoint the one thing that all of these different adversaries have tried to destroy in us, at the core of all of our suffering, at the root of everything, our enemies have attempted to destroy the Oved Avi. They tried to destroy our closeness to our Father. Each and every time we go through a difficult period in history, we all begin to wonder, and whether we tell people about it or not, everyone begins to wonder the same questions. Is our Father in heaven really there? Does he really hear our voices? Does he really care about our feelings and our pain? Do any of our tefillahs actually matter? Does all of our tehillim count for anything? I would venture to say almost everyone that I know probably shares these questions. I don't think there's anyone who isn't bothered by such difficult questions. And our enemies have tried incessantly and relentlessly to destroy our feelings of connection with our Av, with our Father. Arami Ovid Avi. That is the core of destruction that they have attempted against us throughout each and every generation. But if indeed there is no love like the love of a parent to a child, so then we have to take a step back and think about the pain that our Father, that the Ribbono Shel Olam feels at this very moment, as He watches His children suffer and mourn this great tragedy. The love of a father is overwhelming. Father feels the love more profoundly than his children can or ever will feel toward him. The pain of Mr. and Mrs. Frankel, Mr. and Mrs. Yifrach, and Mr. and Mrs. Sher is the very same pain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself feels as he watches his children experience and live through this very tragic experience. Now, over the past 18 days, we have experienced a Nachdus like never before. In fact, Mrs. Frankel, on a conference call last week for American rabbis, so beautifully said that if Hamas only knew how much unity they would bring about through this horrific incident, they never would have done it in the first place. But when the Navi Yeshaya describes in very detailed description what Achris HaYamim is going to look like and what it's going to feel like, the Navi Yeshaya tells us, V'nacha alav ruach Hashem, ruach chachmo, bina, ruach etza, gvura, ruach das, v'yiras Hashem. There will be a feeling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence all around us, everywhere we turn, everywhere we look. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence will be almost palpable. V'gar ze'evim keves, v'namerim gedi yirvatz, v'egelu kfir meri yachta, v'nar kata noig bahem, ufara v'dov, Tirana Yachtav, Yirbitsu Yaldehem, the Aryeh Bakar, Yochal Tevin. In the end of days, says the Navi Yeshaya, the animals will live in harmony with one another, the wolves will graze together with the goats, and the lions will peacefully venture throughout the wilderness. Everyone's going to get along. Society as a whole is going to be united in ways which are unprecedented and almost unimaginable to us. And the Lublina Rav, Rav Meir Shapiro, asks, how can it be that the Navi Yeshaya is calling this experience one which is unprecedented? How could you say that this is an experience that we've never had in the history of the world? Don't we know that during the time, during the period of the Mabul, this happened as well, this strange phenomenon? All the animals all seem to manage to get along throughout the years that they lived with one another in the Teva. So how can the Navi tell us that Liyasud Lavo, we are all going to feel that experience that the world has never felt, that the world has never seen? And explains Rav Meir Shapiro, yes, there might have been unity in the times of the Mabul, in those years in the Teva. But at times like that, it's easy to be united. When the world as a whole experiences precarious and desperate situations, we have no choice but to unite as one. But what the Navi Yeshaya assures us of is that Liyasud Lavo, a time in which there will be no danger and no difficulty, no hardship, and no oppression from our enemies, we will also merit the great blessing of unity and consonance. To be one at a time when there's no adversary, when there's no enemy and there's no oppressor. That, says the Kutzker, that, says Rav Meir Shapiro, is the true meaning of blessing in this world. And this is our tefillah, as we all collectively try to absorb this incredibly difficult loss that we are experiencing, that we continue to feel that our Father is actually listening to us, that we hear His voice responding and whispering back into our ears, and that our unity not only be pronounced in these very difficult times of tragedy and communal suffering, but even at times of communal peace and harmony as well. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant all of us a nechama that we so badly need. And may these three incredible young souls be Militza Yosher for all of us, for all of Klal Yisrael. May they grant all of us Yeshuas and Nechamas. And may we continue to daven for these families, for our community, and for ourselves. Obila amaves lanetzach, umacha Hashem Elokim dima, me'al kolpanim, benomar amen.